Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll be reading through the first five verses of chapter 4. I remind you that all of these first four chapters are one piece. This is God's word. "For my part, brothers and sisters, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, since you were not yet ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready, because you are still worldly. For since there is envy and strife among you, are you not worldly and behaving like mere humans? For whenever someone says, 'I belong to Paul,' and another, 'I belong to Apollos,' are you not acting like mere humans? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? They are servants through whom you believed, and each has the role the Lord has given. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to God's grace that was given to me, I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds on it. But each one is to be careful how he builds on it, for no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will experience loss, but he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Don't you yourselves know that you are God's temple, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and that is what you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a fool so that he can become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, since it is written, 'He catches the wise in their craftiness.' And again, 'The Lord knows that the reasonings of the wise are futile.' So let no one boast in human leaders, for everything is yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, everything is yours. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. A person should think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and managers of the mysteries of God. In this regard, it is required that managers be found faithful. It is of little importance to me that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself, for I am not conscious of anything against myself, but I'm not justified by this. It is the Lord who judges me. So don't judge anything prematurely before the Lord comes, who will both bring to light what is hidden in darkness and reveal the intentions of the hearts. And then praise will come to each one from God. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We said that Paul opens his letter to the Corinthians with some remarkably encouraging words. He talks about them in a very positive way, which is delightful, but it seems to us perhaps odd given what we know about the Corinthians. I know that sometimes if a person starts out with a compliment, there's another paragraph following. In this case, there's a whole letter that follows. And Paul addresses problem after problem after problem after problem in the Corinthian church. But I want you to see that on the one hand, he says some very sharp things even in chapter 3. But as he does so, and he points them to the fact that judgment is coming, he also points them to the remarkable, marvelous grace that is theirs and hence ours in Christ Jesus. Paul writes to them and he says something, and this would be painful to hear. Brothers and sisters, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, since you are not yet ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready because you are still worldly. Bam! I mean, that stings. You're a bunch of babies. But what he's saying is the evidence that they are babies is the fact that they are very prideful about the tribe that they belong to. I do not believe that denominations are in themselves an evil thing. But I will tell you for a fact that denominationalism, that is a brand loyalty that says, I am this. I've always been this. I was brought up this way. I'll die this way. This is who I am. That is a pitiful substitution for a relationship with the Lord. The problem is not an organizational problem. The problem is a problem with the human heart. Okay? Rather than finding our identity in Christ and loving people, some of whom are not like us and may not agree with us on everything, rather than doing that, there's this desire to have this group that we can feel secure with, that these are our people, okay? It's not about what group you belong to. It's not about your favorite sport. It's not about what kind of car you drive or where you went to school. It's about whether or not you know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, your family. God has made us one in Christ. Do we all agree on everything doctrinally? No. Is it legitimate to clearly and strongly state our beliefs about what Scripture teaches? Absolutely. It's important and responsible to do so lovingly, but clearly. We don't have to compromise that. But we certainly need to do it humbly. And we certainly need to love one another. There are folks who emphasize this, and they can make a biblical case for it. There are other people who emphasize this, and they can make a biblical case for it. But if your loyalty is to your brand instead of to the Lord, you got a problem. You are at best a babe. Folks, the Corinthians stand as a reminder that if you are divided over issues like Paul, Apollos, Cephas, you know, that's the guy who influenced me. So that's the one I identify with. You're barking up the wrong tree. But if Paul and Apollos and Cephas are really heard and taken to heart, the result will be a bunch of people who look to Jesus, because he's the only foundation for our faith. He is the rock. He is the one who will never disappoint.
When you look back on your life, who comes to mind as someone who helped you when you struggled? You have the opportunity to be that person for a child in crisis. A growing number of people are committing to leave a gift in their will to organizations who care for children who are searching for healing and hope. Wares Valley Ranch is that place, and the healing and hope are found in Christ. After your family is cared for, would you please consider including a gift in your will to Wares Valley Ranch? When you do, you will become a member of Legacy 145, declaring Yahweh to the next generation. Learn more about Legacy 145 by going to wvr.org and click on the link. Again, the link for Legacy 145 can be found on our website at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
God's servants are supposed to be pointing us to Jesus, 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 so that we don't remember them so much, but we remember Jesus. Pointed to him. That's the goal. Paul says that's what we're doing. Why? He says we are God's co-workers. Get this. This is verse 9. You are God's field, God's building. God is the one who causes the growth. I planted, Apollos watered. God caused the growth. Now let me tell you something. You're what he's doing. Paul is telling the Corinthians, and this is a tremendously encouraging word. Paul is telling the Corinthians, you belong to God, and God is doing something in you. You need to grow. God wants you to grow, but understand you belong to him. You don't belong to me. You don't belong to Apollos. You don't belong to Peter. You belong to him. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you. God lives in you. He's telling that to the Corinthians. I would have wanted to say to the Corinthians, I don't think you're saved. I've heard about the way you're acting. I just really question your salvation. Paul doesn't question their salvation. He writes to them and he says, grow up. Grow up. Become what God destined you to be. You belong to him. Stop bragging about your favorite teacher. Stop finding your identity in the tribe. Start finding your identity in Christ. You belong to him. And he says, verse 14 and following, this is, again, a word about coming judgment, but it's an encouraging word for believers. If anyone's work that he's built survives, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he'll experience loss, but he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. He says to the Corinthians, you're going to get through. There's a fire coming. Your works will be tested. What you are will be tested. Now, does that mean everybody in Corinth is saved automatically just by being a part of this assembly? No. Paul's going to tell them over in chapter 6, don't be deceived. Those who live this way, they're not part of the family. They're not going to inherit the kingdom. Okay? It's not that anybody who makes a profession of faith is saved. There have always been and always will be people who profess faith in Christ and might for a time give the appearance of being a believer. But over time, it becomes clear that it was not genuine. Well, aren't there also here in the Corinthian church people who have turned away, who've sinned and need to be disciplined in the hopes of restoration? Yes, absolutely. Well, how do we know which ones are saved and which ones are not saved? We don't. There are people who we think are saved, and when we get to heaven, we will discover they weren't. They say, when you get to heaven, you will be surprised at some of the people who are there. And you will be surprised at some of the people who aren't there. And there will be some people surprised that you're there. The fact of the matter is that God in his mercy saves exclusively people who don't deserve it. That's the only kind of folks who are going to be in heaven. There's not going to be one person walking around saying, yeah, I earned this, but it was worth it. No. Nobody's going to be saved except by grace. That's the only basis. But rewards in heaven will be based on how you serve the Lord. And I don't want my investment to be in a bunch of wood, hay, and stubble. But then again, he goes on to say, don't you yourselves know that you are God's temple and that the Spirit of God lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and that is what you are. He doesn't say, and that's what you should aspire to become. He says, you are holy because God is holy and he lives in you. You're holy. Every now and then, we find that the small hammer that belongs in the kitchen drawer closest to the dishwasher has disappeared. We don't know how that happens. I'm sure it never happens in your house. But there's something that we occasionally need, and we have a place for it, and it just goes away. And so in those moments, we are sometimes tempted to use other things as a hammer because we want to go ahead and complete this project. Some of you are nodding. You've experienced that also. It's like, okay, I can't find the hammer. I'll just use this. Okay? Ever done that? Suppose you decided to use your watch as a hammer. Good idea, bad idea? Bad idea. Why? Well, because that thing's no good. No, it is more valuable than a hammer. Well, not right now. I need to drive this into the wall. No. This is more valuable. Treat it as such. You need to know about yourself and one another, if you are in Christ, you're holy. That person sitting next to you is holy. That means they belong to God, and God is living in them, and they need to be treated like it. Paul is going to tell the Corinthians that the way they treated each other made their celebration of communion worse than not having one. Okay? Paul writes, and he says, to the Corinthians, God's temple is holy, and that is what you are. Then he says, do not be deceived. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks he's wise in this age, let him become a fool so that he can become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So let no one boast, verse 21, in human leaders. Everything is yours. Now, this is an amazing series of statements. Take it to heart. This is God's word. Listen. Everything is yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come. Everything is yours. And you belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. If you find your identity in him, you are not going to be nearly as enamored with the things of this world. Because you're going to realize, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I have a number of stories flooding my mind right now. I'm not going to share them. You can think of your own. Imagine discovering that you were the heir to way more than you even knew was out there. That's what Paul's telling the Corinthians. It's all yours. The old hymn, "This is My Father's World," talks about the fact that this all belongs to our dad. We're the heirs. His delight is to give this to us. Don't go through this life as if you were a pauper. You're not. Regardless of your financial position, you're rich. If you are in Christ, your inheritance cannot be taken away from you. And you will enjoy perfect peace and joy forever. Forever. Imagine forever with no pain, no sickness, no sorrow, no goodbyes. Perfect peace. Perfect joy. Perfect love. Perfect fellowship. Forever and ever. You don't have to come home because you are home. That's what awaits us. Hallelujah. So, Paul says, everything is yours. Everything is yours. You don't even have to pick. You don't even have to choose. You don't have to say, well, I'm with Apollos. You can have Apollos and Paul and Cephas because you belong to Christ and they are simply his workers. You're the project. God is building something beautiful in your life because God himself has chosen you to be joined with others as his temple. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so Paul says, a person should think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and managers of the mysteries of God. Again, he begins to describe it's required that managers be found faithful. But he says, don't judge, verse 5 of chapter 4, don't judge anything prematurely before the Lord comes, who will both bring to light what is hidden in darkness and reveal the intentions of the hearts. Ooh, that's scary. Have you ever thought that it'd be bad if people could tell what was in your heart? I have. But you know what it says? It says, when the Lord comes, he's going to bring to light what is hidden in darkness and reveal the intentions of the hearts, and then praise will come to each one from God. What? Well, what if there's some bad stuff? It'll be burned up as with fire. But praise will come to each one from God. How do I know it's going to turn out okay? Because God's the one doing the work. God is the one who has promised that he will perfect that which he's begun in you. Now, I've got some shortcomings. Me too. I mean, I've got some things I'm not proud of. Me too. Well, I sometimes have a bad attitude. Me too. But I've got a great Savior. I have a glorious Redeemer. And he has promised that he will accomplish that which he's begun in me. That's why I'm rejoicing. And that's why I don't have to fear death. Please fix your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.